Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. From the State Home for Veterans West River to a new Veterans Cemetery East River to every community large and small in between, the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs serves those who served us. As the South Dakota State Legislature embarks on the 2021 legislative session, we check in with Secretary Greg Whitlock and Deputy Secretary Aaron Pollard of the State Department of Veterans Affairs. Secretary Whitlock, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me today. Appreciate it.
Deputy Secretary Pollard, welcome back as well.
Thank you. How are you today, Lori?
I'm doing all right. It's Friday. There's a little snow and wind going on here, but I think we're going to manage. Secretary Whitlock, I want to start with you because Governor Noem said in her State of the State that South Dakota was ranked the number one state in America for veterans to live and work, and she's referencing their data from the website Smart Asset. And they looked at things like access to health care and veterans' unemployment and veteran-owned businesses, and South Dakota ended up at the top of that list, followed by Wyoming and North Dakota. Tell me a little bit, Secretary Whitlock, about this sort of comprehensive look at how you measure how the department is doing for veterans and what some of your metrics are for success.
Well, I believe South Dakota is, you know, not just a great place for veterans and families to live, but, you know, all families to live in South Dakota. And because, you know, we do have no, you know, taxes that are added on to our income or our benefits that we receive like other states have. So I think it helps all veterans and their families, you know, that they have more take-home pay every month and throughout the year. Also, living expense in South Dakota is way less than a lot of other states. So that was a plus on why, you know, families, veterans, live in South Dakota, just to take advantage of those. You know, they can stretch their dollar way more living in South Dakota than a lot of other states. And so not the metrics that we use. I guess we don't have any certain metrics that we use to, you know, say that this is a great place to live. You know, we all know this is a great place to live just based on, you know, friendly atmosphere almost in every community, you know, toward our veteran population. And just the way, you know, just the way veterans, you know, nowadays are, you know, looked up to in their community. And I think that helps a lot with the veterans organizations also, you know, trying to get membership and adding to their, you know, their organizations to have a voice, you know, at state legislator or federal legislator for continuing to get those benefits for veterans. And I think also our department, you know, helps. And I want to give, I got to get my notes here in front of me. Our department, our claims office, you know, by, like I said, economic value and stretching the dollar more in South Dakota, our department did a record setting. I just got to get to my right note here. A record-setting amount of benefits coming into the state of South Dakota, along with our partners, which are other veterans organizations that we basically file claims on the behalf of veterans for mostly VA benefits and education benefits. But the total that came into our state, like I said, was record-setting even during the COVID 2020 era, as we brought in over $277 million into South Dakota. Well, that's huge. And that's money being, you know, circulated and spent mostly in our state. So it's a huge economic impact that our department and our partners help veterans, you know, receive these benefits. And it makes it a just that much better place to live because we do help veterans receive those benefits and get those benefits they deserve.
Deputy Secretary Pollard, I want to bring you into the conversation and expand on what Secretary Whitlock said about COVID and some of the challenges and how you met them as a department as far as continuing services for veterans throughout the state, throughout 2020 and moving into 2021 as we're still, you know, living largely with COVID mitigation in our communities of one form or another.
Sure. To start with, I'd like to take a moment. This kind of ties in really well with yesterday, Governor Noem actually visited our office here in Sioux Falls. We have some space in the Alliance Building. She visited with our veteran service officers and some of our claims staff to get an update on our efforts through the pandemic and just to recognize them for what they did through COVID and what they do every day. So just like to take an opportunity to thank the governor for touring the building and taking the time to meet with our staff. They really liked that. But through the pandemic, we never really slowed down. The only thing that really slowed down was public contact because we weren't able to do public contact, A, because we were home at first, and then a majority of our staff that do public contact are in the VA regional office. Well, we partnered with the Alliance Building, and they were able to provide us with some space, so we were actually able. We've been seeing veterans face-to-face for quite a few months now, socially distanced and safe, of course, but we're still doing public contact with veterans because some veterans just don't have the same access that others do, and they need that one-on-one with a veteran service officer to get that assistance. So we've been creative, and we've done what we've needed to make sure that we continue to serve our veterans and their families through the pandemic, and it's worked out really well. Like the secretary said, we had a record-setting year of compensation and pension dollars that came into the veterans and dependents that we represent.
Secretary Whitlock, in Hot Springs, there's a Michael J. Fitzmaurice Home for Veterans, and of course, we have all been following the COVID-19 pandemic and how it relates to long-term care facilities and nursing homes and such. Brad Richardson has been superintendent, has been on the show more than once talking about their COVID-19 response. What can you tell us about the COVID-19 response at the home and how things have been going there, including now as vaccine distribution is rolling out?
Yes, talking about the vaccine rolling out, we had a majority of our residents accept and take the vaccine yesterday, and so that just happened, and so that was great news. They got their first vaccination. Also, I've got to give kudos to our staff because they have also been recognized for their COVID response, basically, by a person named Lori Hins. And her team is the Great Plains QIN, and QIN stands for Quality Innovation Network, and they handle Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. And they were our home was recognized for our swabbing booth, and they did such a good job of putting that, our maintenance group did such a great job putting that swabbing booth and built it, that it was submitted as the standard of practice to other facilities. Also, South Dakota Department of Health also said that our swabbing station was by far the best they've seen statewide in their last infectious control survey. So that just gives testament to how the staff is trying to keep all of our residents safe and keeping the virus out of our, doing the best they can to keep the virus out of our home. And so since the you know 10 plus months, you know, they've had a high tempo of operations during pandemic, and the staff, you know, they've had some staff that have, you know, have come down with the COVID virus, but you know, there was other staff members that stepped up to the plate and did, you know, maybe 12 more hours that week on their normal shift and just picked up the slack for the individuals that did have to stay home because of COVID. You know, they had to be quarantined. So the staff has just done an outstanding job out there of keeping the COVID virus out of the home. And we've done we've just done a great job keeping our residents safe, and that's all because of our great staff, you know, making sure that they're doing the right thing, you know, on their off time also when they're not, you know, working at the home. So they've been very diligent on where they go, who they see, what stores they go to. You know, they have done a great job because they know that they're going to be going, you know, to work at a facility that has elderly residents, and they're more susceptible to that COVID virus. And so they have done just an outstanding job keeping everybody safe out at our home.
Aaron Pollard, what can you tell us about the first ever state veterans cemetery and the progress of that in near Sioux Falls?
Well, the first thing I can tell you is that we're excited. The cemetery is nearing completion. We hope to open sometime in April or May. The only thing that's holding us back right now is finishing the landscaping. So once we're able to get in there after winter gets over with and get the landscaping in, we will begin the operation of the state's first veteran cemetery.
For veterans who are listening now and are contemplating what that means, tell us a little bit about what happens next once it is open.
Sure. So what National Cemetery Administration does is they determine that there's an unmet need, and that unmet need is burial options for veterans. And our area was one of those areas where that unmet need was identified. So we applied for and got a grant from the National Cemetery Administration to build the cemetery. And this gives veterans and their eligible dependents a burial option to be buried in a state veteran cemetery that is maintained and will look essentially the same as a national cemetery that would be run by the National Cemetery Administration. So veterans and their non-veteran dependents can be buried closer to home in the same type of environment as they would in a national cemetery that might be farther away. As you know, our closest ones are in Sturgis and Fort Snelling out in Minnesota. So it gives them the opportunity to be buried with respect and reverence that they deserve and that they've earned.
Yeah. I wanted to also ask you, Aaron, about transitioning from the military to the home front and different ways that happens in South Dakota, especially as we look nationwide at some veterans who are having trouble making those adjustments. How does that work in South Dakota? I remember you talking with us before about the CARS program and actually reaching out via phone to everybody who separates from service. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Sure. So we typically hope to have a good handoff from either active duty or National Guard or Reserve members who are coming off of active duty or retiring from the Guard. So what we do is we started a program a few years ago called Operation CARS, which stands for Calling All Returning Service Members. And what our department does is we get notified of service members that are coming, that we suspect are coming home to South Dakota. So we personally pick up the phone and call each and every one of those people that are identified that we can get a hold of and welcome them home first of all, and then give a little brief explanation of what might be available to veterans as they transition into being civilians, and give them information and guidance on where they can go with specific questions they might have. So it's really just giving them the opportunity to either go meet with their county or tribal veteran service officer or meet with somebody from our department if they're having any struggles or have questions about benefits or anything along those lines. So that's, I think, the transition from military to civilian life. It's just important to have people who've done that transition before who can, you know, kind of help you along the way if that's what you're interested in.
Mm. Aaron Pollard and Greg Whitlock joined us today. Greg is the secretary, and Aaron is the deputy secretary of the State Department of Veterans Affairs. Secretary Whitlock, thanks so much.
Thank you, Laurie.
Deputy Secretary Pollard, thank you.
Thanks, Laurie. We'll talk again.